I'm one of the pastors here. It's Easter Sunday. He is risen. Wow, exciting here. Wonderful things. We've gotten to worship together, baptize people. We talked about the marriage, upcoming seminar. Just like, wow, this is coming to Quesnel. Let's take advantage of this. I think Sandy and Keith got that across. Let's take advantage. Money's meant for spending on the most important things in life, right? So marriage is super important. Just also want to say, don't let money get in the way. Maybe it's challenging for the cost, whether for maybe you got kids, the babysitting cost, or the workshop. Just want to let you know, sponsorships are available. So in the back of the bulletin, you can email the office, admin@northstarchurch.ca. And apply, just say your name, phone number, and you're applying for a sponsorship. And we don't want that to get in the way if that's something that's a challenge for you. And really, if you want to be a sponsor for someone else, email the same email and we'll make that happen. A little bit about me. I grew up in wet Vancouver Island, Nanaimo, BC, where there was not ever snow on Easter Sunday. But something we often did was we would hike up Mount Benson. It was about 3,000 feet. And it's something you could go, you could ascend to the peak and then go back down in a day. So it was something we all loved doing. And, you know, it'd be like, hey, what did you do, Dave? Well, hey, I hiked up a mountain. I ascended into the heavens, experienced euphoria, beauty, nature. What did you do today? You know, like, they're just this sense of accomplishment, hiking up a mountain, getting to the peak, and then also there's just this overwhelming beauty. Seriously, like, being on a mountaintop is one of my favorite things in life. And Mount Benson, you could see over water, you could see over forests that went on for, you know, for so far to the horizon. You could also see over our town and how small it looked from up above. And we'd also get up there and, you know, Braveheart was in that day, you know, yeah, freedom! It just, you know, you were up there, you were alone, and it was joyful. And the challenge was, is you couldn't stay on the mountaintop too long because you'd get cold. Your provisions would go out that you packed for the day. It would begin to get dark. You needed to get back. There was safety. And there's also this sense of the more you did it, the more the euphoria of the mountaintop experience kind of wore off. How about yourselves? Any of you like to go hiking? Do you like being in the outdoors? Have you walked the Pinnacles last year? Are you planning on doing that this year? 10 Mile Lake? Anybody, how about Mount Murray? I haven't been up that one yet. That mountain you can see right down Barkerville Main Street. That seems a fairly doable one. Do you consider yourself hikers or mountain climbers? What I'd like to suggest is that we all spend our lives hiking mountains. What mountains do you hike on Monday morning? What mountains do you hike Tuesday night or on your weekends? So much of life, there's this building up, this trying to ascend a mountain, whether it's preparing somebody else for life, like a little one, or if it's trying to establish yourself in a career, in a workplace, in your finances. There's these mountains that we spend most of our lives going up. And it's challenging because we spend so much of our lives looking to get to the peak, right? Like, oh, okay, school is paid off, finally. That loan is gone. And now I got to save up for a mortgage. And then, oh, this mortgage. And then, oh, okay, now we got to pay for all these hikers we're bringing with us. You know, and then, oh, now we got to pack more and plan more. And, oh, we got to think about have their provisions for the future. And, oh, you just, it's just always, oh, and finally the mortgage is paid off, and then, oh, there's RSPs to save for. Are you kidding me? You know, it's just kind of, you get to what this illustrates is you get to the mountaintop, and what happens? You see the next mountain, right? And you've been the whole time, you've been climbing up the mountain, just, I can't wait to get to the top. Like, this is when I will be free. This is when I'll be satisfied, is when I'm at the top. But the challenge is that in life, our mountaintop experiences, the feelings don't last. That sense of freedom lasts for a time, but it's only temporary. I think all that hints that there's nothing in this world that ultimately satisfies the human heart. This is the human condition. I don't know, can we recognize that? I think some of us go, well, we all would like to be at the top of the top, to ascend the highest mountains. I have some quotes from those who've ascended the highest mountains in a career, in sport, in finances. Let's read a couple quotes from them on the PowerPoint. Jack Higgins, best-selling author of The Eagle Has Landed, 50 million copies. He said, I wish I'd known then what I know now. I've learned that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. Let's get, next slide. Jim Carrey, hilarious actor, once that just at the top of the money-earning scale in Hollywood. He said, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of, so they would know that's not the answer. Next one. Boris Becker, sport I love, tennis. My biggest struggle is still with suicide, having obtained all those trophies. One more. Tom Brady. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think, God, it's got to be more than this. What's the answer? I wish I knew. I wish I knew. These quotes are deeply surprising to us because what's our world say? You are a success. You arrive. You find what you're looking for through getting to the top of the mountain. And yet those who've been there to places that we could only dream of, to where we go, this is what I'm searching for, they say, really? That's not it. And it's shocking. And it's disturbing. I think now we're ready to hear the Easter story. Let's open up the Bibles, if you have one with you. We are in the middle of our Galatians series. We're going to read one sentence from the book of Galatians. And our weeks have been building up to this text. And then point it back to the Easter story in Matthew 28. So let me read this one verse, and I'm reading, do we have Bibles in the back? I think we do on a table back there. Yep. You can grab one if you'd like, and take it home with you. We have extras here at a church. Imagine that. So I'm going to read Galatians 5:1, and if you got this Bible from the back, it's page 702. And it's on the PowerPoint. So, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." We'll go on to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Something to really draw out of this Galatians passage that points us to Easter is that Christ is the one who sets us free. Christ is the one who sets us free, and Easter has everything to do about. So just outlining our talk, where we've been, where we're going, 3 points. Classic, I know. So, first point. First part we're going to talk about is how we search to be free. So we've already been discussing this. We'll just finish that piece, then we'll go on to the next piece. Where freedom is found. And thirdly, what our freedom is meant for. So how we search to be free, where freedom is found, what our freedom is meant for. So we talked about searching to be free through our achievements. For the Galatians here, another way, and for Canadians, there's a parallel. Some of us search to be free by being good people. And we certainly recognize that if we make certain choices in our life, they will constrain us, they will enslave us. There's some choices that aren't good choices. So sometimes we recognize, well, I'm going to seek to be free by being a good person. Well, in this verse, it says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free. Don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." This is kind of surprising. These are a bunch of religious people saying, don't get tied down to the religious rules. If you think that you can find freedom through a life of earning favor with God through your good works, it doesn't work that way. It's that whole achieving thing we all talked about already. It's just got religious clothing on it. It's the same mentality of having to climb mountains, but it's never enough. It's I don't know if you can connect to that. You're only as good as, you know, what you last achieved. You know, it's sports. Love sports. You're only as good as your last game. Like, what have you done for me lately? That is a life of achieving. And that is how, that's a danger in relating to God. And really, if church is something that's kind of new to you, it can be like, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it about just like saying the right things, doing the right things, not swearing, dressing right? It's about rules, isn't it? Well, as we see in Easter, the heart of Christianity isn't about rules. We're going to talk more about this. So that's one danger for the people in Galatians, or in Galatia, and that was what the pastor was writing them about. Like this whole book, don't fool yourself. That's not what Christianity is all about. It'll enslave you if you try to earn favor with God. That's not how it works. Another way we try to set ourselves free, we can see it here in verse 13. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. What's that about? Hey, what's our world tell us all the time? Where's freedom found? It's in the fulfillment of our desires. And yet, we talked about those kind of mountains. There's also these pleasure mountains, a life built on pleasure, fulfillment, or a life built on escape from responsibilities. That is what freedom's all about. Think, Paul here is saying, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. That's not where freedom is found either. I think we see that. Maybe it's harder to see in ourselves when we seek it, but we can see sometimes when people get all that they want and they just build their lives about, you know, build their lives around their pleasure fulfillment or escape from life, that's not actually truly free life, even though our world says it is. Another, it doesn't say this in the text, but another part to reflect on, because we might say, well, we find freedom in relationships, and I think that's true and yet not true. If we try to find our fulfillment in one person, like a significant other, a partner to share life with, I don't know if you've ever had that, where someone put their worth, to find their worth on you, but it's extremely suffocating. It's not life-giving when that happens. I don't know if you've ever tried to go, okay, well, I know one person can't fulfill me, but a bunch of people, that's where I can find freedom in life and fulfillment. Well, actually, as we do that and we try to find fulfillment in a bunch of people, that's also actually quite hurtful and we can become quite bitter because we don't ultimately, just like one person, we don't actually find fulfillment through a community of people either. They can't fully satisfy what the longings in our heart are. So that's another piece to recognize. So this is how we search for freedom. Where is freedom found? Number two, where is freedom found? So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So Christ has truly set us free. This is what we talked about. Christ is the one who has the ability to set us free. And here is where we look at the Easter story. Talk about mountains. The title of the sermon is Mount Freedom, the Mount of Freedom. There's one mountain that stands above all the rest in history. And by our estimation, it would be quite small in size, but it looms large when it comes to freedom and when it comes to history. It's the Mount of Calvary. It's that hill that Jesus ascended with the cross on his back. It's the hill, the mount, where God paid the ransom for your freedom. It was paid through pain. God was whipped, he was beaten, he was mocked, and he ultimately took nails in his hands and his feet to pay a price to set us free that we could never pay on our own, that we have no ability to set us free. It was paid through pain. It was paid through blood. The very blood of God was given to set you free, to give you that freedom that we long for. It was paid through love. There is no greater love than he who would lay his life down for others. And that the God of the universe would do that for us. Why on earth would God do that for us? Is that something we even need? Well, I think if we're looking at our own heart and our longings, there's also a recognition of brokenness in our world. I think we look around and we can go, there's something broken in our world. If we're honest, there's something broken in ourselves. And if we think that we're good enough to go into an eternity and be in the presence of a good, holy, incredible God of all might and power and love, I think if we look, the more we get to a look of who God is and his goodness, the more we recognize we're actually not good enough, fit to be in his presence. This is the Easter story, is that God did something about that for us to set us free. And not only that, He overcame death itself. This is the over. This is humanity's greatest foes of sin and death. God overcame them in one weekend on Easter Sunday, and that's why we're here. That's why we recall it year after year after year, because it stands large over history. It stands large over history, and it's something personal, because the means to experience the freedom of that ransom, of God paying the price on our behalf, is through faith. It's an acceptance of our brokenness, and it's an acceptance of that God is God and we are not. And it's acceptance that He did it on the cross for us, and He was who He said He was. And this opens up a life of faith. The gospel story, Matthew 28:5, the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as He said would happen. Come and see where His body was lying." I think if some of us are honest about how we live life, we'd recognize that we don't have it in ourselves to set us free. And what we're looking for is ultimately Jesus. Some of you are coming here, "Well, I just would settle for a, you know, half-decent talk, some decent singing, make mom happy. You know, that's enough." But I think underneath, we're here looking to connect with the God of the universe, to find something that we can't find in ourselves. There's a writer named C.S. Lewis who has a quote who gets exactly at this. Let's read it. "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." When it comes to Easter, there's many different angles you can come at talking about it. We could talk about the verifiable historical account that these gospels point us to. We could talk about how these events changed history and we live in it today. This morning we've been talking about how our very longings in our hearts point us to our need for Easter. They point us to a need for a God to break into our world, for eternity to break into our world. Because there's nothing in this world that can satisfy the longings of our heart. This is part of the human condition. Very briefly, our third point, where is freedom found? Again, going back to Galatians 5:13. "You've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." Doesn't that just make sense? That freedom is actually found in loving and serving each other. Freedom is actually found in loving and serving God. It just makes sense. All these ads, all the way, you know, our world is continually bombarding us with messages. If we totally live by them, their promises are empty. They don't last. They promise mountaintop experiences with every commercial these days. They don't last. Freedom is found, and to continue to stay in freedom, it's not found in achievements. It's not found in the satisfying of our own, of a life of pleasure. It's actually freedom is found in helping other people. That just makes sense, doesn't it? And we see in the gospel account that we're invited into this big, big story, this kingdom story, this heaven story. Jesus comes back from the dead and He goes, "I have conquered through the power of God the Father, I've conquered the grave. I've been given authority in heaven and on earth, and I got a job for you. I got a job for you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach the new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go set people free. Show them. Show them that it's not through achievements. Those things bring joy, and God puts mountains in our world for us to conquer, but they're not where freedom, our achievements can't be what gives us freedom. We can't build our lives on achievements. Our life, when you build it on the acceptance and the grace of God, all of a sudden you are set free from a life of earning in a way that you have never been set free before. And many of us have experienced that. And many of us are still just trying to figure out what this means of living into that. Because you can, like Paul's writing church people going, hey, you've accepted the story, but you kind of got it off a little bit. Get back to the main thing. This is what God does. He transforms history through Easter. And the invitation in your lives is to accept the Easter account and to accept it into your own lives and let it change you. This verse is profound. Matthew 28, we talk about who are you looking for? Jesus was crucified. He is risen. The invitation at Easter is in these words. Come see. Go tell. Come see, go tell. Come see what God has done. You're invited in. There's so many questions we have in our lives about pain, about God. But when you encounter God, when you come see, so many of your questions, they just fade away. They don't even become that important anymore. And we're enlisted in a meaningful, extravagant, incredible story of love where we get to help. Go tell others, and show others, go tell. And it's an incredible story. God doesn't promise us a life of mountaintop living. And we're surprised at that, because where is so much of life spent? So much of life spent is in the valleys, isn't it? In dark valleys, disorienting valleys, valleys of depression and despair. They confuse us, but in the Easter story, in the cross, we see a God who does not leave us there. We see a God who goes into the valleys with us, and we get a sense that God is with us there. If we look at mountaintops, we actually see that there's not much vegetation there. There's this incredible joy of temporary experience of, look at this, it's beautiful, it's incredible, look at what's happened. And yet so much of growth, where does growth happen in life? It happens in the valleys. I just want to encourage you that whatever you're going through in life, wherever you're at, we have an incredible God who is willing to enter into the valleys of life of despair, depression, pain. And in his incredible love, this is the Easter story. He bought us with his own blood to transform our eternity, and eternity begins now. So the Easter story, we invite you in. Come see. Go tell. Jesus is the one who sets us free. Let's pray. God, when we truly get a sense of how powerful this Easter story is, sometimes we lose sight of what you did on our account. The awe, and we can't even wrap our heads around that the creator of worlds, of galaxies, of the universe would come and become one of us. But it was for great reason. It was to set us free. We have to, if we are honest with you, Lord, to repent for the so many ways where we've built our life not around a life of thankfulness and joy of what you've done for us, but around ourselves and our own a life of achievements. We've misplaced who our God is. We've made other people our gods. We've made achievements our gods. We've made pleasure seeking our gods. There's so many different ways where we have lived as if you don't exist, and it isn't worthy of who you are, and we fall hugely short. We all do. And yet the gospel of Christianity, the story of Easter, is that you forgive it all and you offer up new life in an abundant way that blows our mind. We anticipate that if we come to you in faith, that amazing things are going to happen in our lives. Whether it's for a breakthrough, for a first time in a spiritual heartbeat that has not been there before, or if it's something where we've been following you for so long, but just we didn't fully grasp the freedom we have. God, we anticipate that you're going to bring new freedom because that's who you are and that's what you do. And we thank you, God, for what you've done on our account. May you get the praise and glory for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.